That's odd. All right. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And we're glad to have Neil Morgan with us this morning. He'll be sharing with us at 10 o'clock and during Sunday school. And at the 11 o'clock hour, be preaching for us. And so we're excited about that. Today is World Missions Offering Day, so don't forget that. We'll take care of that at the 11 o'clock service. And so remember that. And so hopefully you got a bulletin. There's several announcements in there. Take good note of those. Lots of things going on. Coming up this month, so remember Sarah's graduation Friday night, 6 o'clock. I think it's 6, isn't it? Yeah, 6 o'clock. You can live stream it on the college's website, and so I encourage you to do that. And then we'll have a party to celebrate her on the 16th. Next week's Mother's Day, so don't forget that either. And we got just busy time with summer coming up. We'll continue to be praying for Ms. Kay. And Brother George, you got an update? Just about the same. Okay, so just continue to pray for Ms. Kay. And if you have your Bibles, you've found Isaiah chapter number 9. We're going to look at the rest of chapter 9 and the first part of chapter 10 this morning. We're not going to read for sake of time all of these verses, but I encourage you this week to go back and read the ones that we've missed. It really does help us to understand the story and you probably have had time when you were growing up, and you were doing something you knew better than to do, and you thought you got away with it, and then mom or dad or grandma, whoever said, "Young man," or "Young lady." And sure, they'd found out, and our works will always follow us. Some call it karma. I don't think it's karma. I think it's the biblical principle of that we reap what we sow. And when we walk away from the Lord and we don't serve Him, we shouldn't be surprised when things are not going the way we think they should. Or we're not seeing God working in our life, and we're not seeing God's blessings, because God doesn't bless us if we're not with Him and we're not living for Him. He, says that multiple times throughout Scripture, doesn't He? If you do this, then I will do this. But if you do this, then there's going to be this. And sure enough, it happens just like God says that it's going to. Just like students were getting toward the end of the school year, and if you do well and you do your homework and you study hard, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a good grade in that class. Now, a good grade may be different for different people, but if you've done your best and you've worked diligently, you'll do well. But guess what happens if you don't do your homework and you don't study for tests? Guess what's going to happen? You ain't going to get a good grade. You're going to fail. Even in college, it seems like every class I teach, I've got at least one student that just doesn't do their work, and so they fail. And you can't, expect anything other than that. Well, God's message to the children of Israel today is that, he's been telling them about God's judgment, but also sprinkling throughout that God's deliverance. And we're going to see both of those in this message this morning. And Isaiah here in these, at chapter 9, verse 8 through chapter 10, you understand this is one continuous thought. The chapters and verses weren't in the original. When Isaiah wrote this, he didn't write chapter 10, verse 1, and then, you know, it came much, much later. And we know that his thoughts continue because he uses this phrase, but his hand is stretched out still, talking about God's hand. And just like kids, your dad or your mom's hand can be soft and gentle when, you know, you're hurting, but it can also be painful when you're getting a whooping. And Carl knows that firsthand because he got lots of them growing up. And I'm going to have to tell his mama it didn't work. She should have swatted a little harder. I'm just teasing about that. But listen, and God is the same way. And the thing is, God wants to bless us, and God wants us to know his love and his mercy and his grace. But he also wants us to understand his holiness. Because before anything else, God is holy. You remember that great vision that Isaiah saw of God in chapter 6 that we looked at just a few weeks ago. When the angels were before the throne, and you remember what they were crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And that is what God wants us to know and see of him. And you remember from Isaiah's story, when he saw that vision and he understood a little bit about who God was, what was his response? He said, "Oh my." He said, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the land of a people of unclean lips." But at that realization, you remember one of the seraphim, one of the angels, came with a tongue with a live coal, and it touched his mouth. And he said, "Your sins have been purged." In other words, you have found forgiveness and mercy from God. Now, I don't know about you, but I would a whole lot rather and enjoyed grace and mercy a whole lot more than I did punishment growing up. And you probably did too. But I also know as a kid, sometimes, you know, kids don't make the wisest of choices. And sometimes they make the same wrong decision over and over and over again. And it makes their parents, you know, bang their head on the wall saying, "What on earth? Why don't they get it?" And can I tell you, God probably has those same feelings towards us. Because there's lessons that we don't learn right away. We don't learn the mistakes of people who have gone before us. And sometimes we don't even learn from our own mistakes, and we repeat them over and over and over again. And yet God's will and God's desire for us is to know his grace, his mercy, his deliverance. But in order for us to realize that, we've got to see his holiness. And we've got to live according to his way, by his direction. And the children of Israel didn't do that. So guess what happens? God is going to speak judgment against them. And he gives some very stern pictures here. Talking about cutting the head and the tail off of Israel. Yeah, well, you cut a head off of something, guess what? It's dead, isn't it? What I want us to see, we're going to look at, first of all, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 8 through 12. And I want to see that God's hand cannot be undone. The Israelites, just like us, thought that they could live how they wanted to, and they could, you know, live in the midst of God's judgment, but the things that God punished them for, they could just undo that punishment. And we'll see that in just a minute. But we need to understand, and they came to learn, you can't undo God's hand. So let's read verses 8 through 12. It says, "The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. All the people will know. Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart, 'The bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we'll replace them with cedars.' Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and spur his enemies on, the Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they will devour Israel with an open mouth. For all of his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." And he goes on and pronounces, you know, that, you know, and his anger or his wrath is kindled when we sin. The anger and the wrath of God is not against individuals, but it's against sin that the individuals commit. And God will bring judgment. We will pay a price for disobeying God and living contrary to His word. That's true of individuals, and it's true of nations, just like Israel was finding out. That you remember the Assyrians and the Babylonians would come and take both of kingdoms of God's people, ultimately because of their sin. Not because God didn't love them or God had rejected them or forgotten about them, but because God had tried to get their attention and they kept ignoring Him. And so He knew, you know what, I've got to do something serious. I've got to crank up the punishment notches, if you will. And so just as God, and God had warned them over and over and over again, that listen, if you live for me, you do the things I tell you to, you live how I tell you to, you follow your life's going to be blessed. If you don't, your life's going to be cursed. And the truth of the matter is, so often human beings choose cursing rather than God's blessing. Because we think it's better to do it our way. Or we think it's better to, you know, be able to do what we want to, or that we'll avoid punishment. And the truth of the matter is, God says, no, you're not going to. Because God sees all and God knows all and God's all powerful, and we're going to sooner or later pay for what we've done. And it may not be in this life. There are a lot of people who do a lot of evil, wicked things in this world, and sometimes you wonder when you hear about things going on, Lord, how can you let that happen? And how can those people, you know, get away with these things? And even when justice doesn't find them here on earth, it's going to find them eventually. And in the next life, when they stand before God, and God knows their deeds, and they'll ultimately pay the price for it. And so Isaiah reminded, he said, listen, God's hand, however big you think you might be, God's hand cannot be undone. And so he uses that example. He said, you know what? These houses and the bricks and everything, they've been knocked down. Well, that's all right. We'll build them back stronger with stone. And the trees were brought down. Well, that's all right. We'll plant cedars there instead. Thinking that they would subvert God's punishment. And God's punishment was not to, by the way, remember, not make them feel bad or, you know, hurt them. Just like when our parents or grandparents, those that love us, issue some kind of punishment, it's not to hurt us. It's to teach us, hey, we probably shouldn't do that again. Because these consequences aren't, we don't like that. And so we learn not to do those things. So he says that, you know, the bricks have fallen down, the sycamores are cut down, but we're going to undo all that. We're going to find ourselves back. And God goes on in verses 13 and following down through here, and he talks about how God's not only going to take the land from the children of Israel, he's going to take lives of some of the children of Israel. And he's going to take the land away from them. And remember, the land was this, I mean, it was the jewel around their neck, if you will. They were proud, saying, listen, this is our land. We are the chosen people. And, you know, and the land of Israel was an important part of God's covenant with them. And they knew it, and they were proud of it. And so when God took it away, you just think about, and parents, you discipline your children in different ways. And, sometimes, kids get to the age where spanking is probably not the best motivator. But you take away the car keys when they're teenagers, or you take away the Xbox, or you take away the whatever it is that they really like. That hurts some more, and probably a lot longer than a spanking. That just hurts for a second, but you get over it and move on. But not being able to talk on the phone or have the Xbox or whatever, be able to watch TV or go someplace for a week is rough when you're a kid. It's horrible. And by the way, punishment's not supposed to be enjoyable. But also, neither is punishment supposed to last forever. And that's where, a lot of parents and adults get in trouble because they take punishment too far and too long. But punishment that's done in love always has rehabilitation or reconciliation as its motivation. And that's what God is trying to do for the children of Israel. And we know ultimately that's what does happen. But how often are we like that? We think, yeah, I've been punished, but that's all right. I'll just come back from it. We find that when we do that with God, it never works out. And so God's going to says, I'm going to send these foreign heathen lands to come and be my instruments of punishment. And that brings us to the second point, that God's hand will bring judgment. Look with me down in chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah gives throughout his letter or his book several woes to people. When it's woe, that means kind of danger or peril. It's a warning. So it says, woe to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write misfortune, which they have prescribed, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. What will you do in the day of punishment, in the day of desolation, which will come from afar, to whom you will flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down among the prisoners, and they shall fall among the slain. For all of his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out yet still. His hand is stretched out still. In other words, God is still angry. Why is he angry? Why is his hand still outstretched? His hand is still outstretched in wrath and punishment because people haven't repented. They've said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm on the wrong path. Let me get back on the right path and follow God's direction. Well, how do we know that? Because they were taking advantage of people. Not only were they trying to subvert God's punishment and God's will and but they were taking advantage of people and not doing what they were supposed to. You remember, Old Testament prophet might say, what does God require of us? That we love God, that we do justly. And they weren't doing that. They were instead taking advantage of people. And so God says, you know what? You're going to find yourself in that same situation. People are going to be overtaking you. And you're going to be led off captive. And so the people that they were taking advantage of widows and orphans. Now, what does the Bible teach about how we ought to treat and respond to orphans and widows? The Bible says that God's people are supposed to take care of them. They were to be kind and gracious to them. The nation of Israel was not obeying that. See, God has always been concerned about people, and He's always been concerned about justice and doing what's right. People today, you know, this social justice, if you will, movement that's going around not only in America, but around the world. You know, justice is not something new. God has always been concerned that His people would treat people with dignity and respect, and that they would do what was right, that they would help those that need help. Why? Because you may find yourself in that same situation one day. And when you want somebody to help you, and so God reminds us that, listen, judgment's going to come from our actions, and not only is God going to bring judgment, but God will bring justice as well. This world thinks it knows what justice is. We miss the mark sometimes, though, don't we? But God does know what justice is, because He is ultimately 100% fully just and righteous. And so if we want to know what's just, we just look to God. And say, you know what, how does God behave? And then we try to say, you know what, if that's what characterizes God, that probably is what should characterize my life too. And if God is concerned about the lost, He's concerned about the oppressed, He's concerned about prisoners, He's concerned about widows, He's concerned about orphans, guess what? That means if we're going to be His people and we're going to be like Him, we should be concerned about those same things. And so God reminds us, hey, listen, my friends, you can't undo what God has done because you're not God. There's only one and you're not Him. And then He reminds us, listen, God's hand will bring judgment. But then lastly, we find in these chapters of Isaiah, chapters 9 and 10, that God's hand will also bring restoration. And interesting how God gives these messages to Isaiah of His judgment. And Isaiah, by the way, faithfully proclaims them. Most of the people do not listen. There's not this great turn and revival in the land and people repenting of their sin and coming back to God. But Isaiah faithfully preaches the message that God has given him to preach. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20, God reminds us of the hope that comes from living in Him and obeying Him. And so let's take a look. In verse 20, Isaiah says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped the house of Jacob will never again depend on Him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all of the land. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He will strike you with the rod and lift up his staff against you in the name of Egypt. And so God reminds us through the prophet Isaiah, he gives the people this message that, hey, listen, judgment, you know, you are in the position and the predicament you're in because you wandered away from me and you didn't follow me. You didn't do what I told you to do. And so you're reaping what you're sowing. They said, you know what? There will come a day when some will see the error of their way and they'll come back to a relationship with God. And they'll say, God, you know what? Your way is the best way, and it's best to serve you and to do things according to your way. You remember Samuel, the Old Testament says, reminds us that God resists the proud, but a broken and a contrite heart, he says, the Lord will not despise. And when we've repented of our sin and we've sought God's forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to restore us. And that's that great message of the gospel. That's the message that John proclaims in his first letter. And yet that message of the hope of the gospel was not new to John. And it wasn't new with Jesus. Because we find that very same message in Isaiah and several other prophets in other parts of the Old Testament as well. God is a God of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. So I said, you know what? Yeah, there's this remnant. There's this small minority. There's this little group that will come back. He said, you know what? Israel is... There's a lot of children of Israel. They outnumber the sea. Remember God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. They said, out of that whole, all those grains of sand, there'll be a few grains that come back to the Lord. And the Lord will be pleased, and the Lord will be honored in them. And so God says through the prophet Isaiah in verse 24, he said, you know what, my people? Don't be afraid and don't lose heart. He said, the Assyrians are going to come. They're going to strike you with the rod. They're going to lift their staff up against you. In other words, they're going to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Don't be alarmed. Don't be scared. Because I'll be there with you and I'll bring you out. And God ultimately does. And so we're reminded here in chapter 9 and 10 of the book of Isaiah, you know what? God's hand is a powerful and mighty thing. It can either give love and comfort or it can bring judgment and pain. And by the way, it's not God that determines which it is. It's us that determines which it is by the choices we've made. And God says, you know what? If you will follow me, if you'll, you know, live for me, if you'll live with me, you'll see these things. But if you choose to ignore the things that I've told you, and you choose to ignore my voice, and you choose to ignore my warnings, and you choose to ignore my discipline, then don't be surprised when I take my hand off you and you're not going to be blessed. And when you find things rough, and again, it's not because God has chosen that, it's that we have chosen that. We're the ones that have made the choice. But it's kind of a final remark. God reminds us here in those beginning verses that we read that, you know, the leaders led the people astray, and God's going to hold them accountable. But even the people that listened and fell underneath the teaching of these leaders that told them wrong, they're punished as well. Why? Because they should have known better. Just like if I tell you something that goes against Scripture, which I don't ever intend to do, but if something slipped out of my mouth, and I said something crazy, don't you for a moment say, well, the preacher said it, so it must be right. So I'll just go with that. No. If it goes against God's word, you don't believe it. And so the children of Israel should have known better. They should have known these leaders were. But you know what? They were lured by prosperity. They were lured by prosperity. They were lured by easy living. They had the good life. They said, well, why would I want to give this up and do what God says? And so they were fine going along with what the leader said, even though they knew it was wrong. And so God said, even the people that aren't leading, even those that maybe were taught wrong, are going to endure the punishment because they should have known better. And God will hold us accountable for our choices and our actions. We don't go say, well, the preacher told me it was okay. Or my Sunday school teacher said it was okay. No, you should have known better, God's going to say. You know better than that. Paul talked about in the last days, people would have itching ears, and he warned Timothy, he said, you be sure you preach God's word. There'll come a day, and friends, I think we're living in that day. We're living in times very similar to what Isaiah lived in. And I hope it doesn't take the Assyrians and the Babylonians coming into our land and us having to endure what Israel had to endure for us to wake up and say, you know what? We have wandered far away from God. We've wandered away, and we have no one to blame but ourselves because we know the truth. And God challenges us, and God says, you know what? You make the right choice. You make the right choice, just be sure it will come back to you. Now, it doesn't come back like these crazy TV preachers that say, hey, listen, George, send me a check for $100, and I'm going to pray over that check, and then I'm going to cash that check, and God's going to give you $1,000. He's going to refold 10 times. Listen, God doesn't work that way. That's not how God works. But how God works is when Brother George or any of us give what we have to the Lord. So in the example of giving our finances, when we give to tithes or when we give money to missions like we're going to today at 11 o'clock, God receives that and God blesses it and multiplies it. And we've got what we've got left because we've given some of what we had away. But you know what? Somehow God works it out that bit that we have left, we can do more with what's left than we ever could have with the 100% we had to start with. Doesn't make sense in human math. And it won't work on the balance sheet in your bank account. You can't spend more than what you have thinking that, well, I gave some to the Lord, so it's... No, that's not how that works. But God makes sure, and God makes sure our blessing, our needs are met when we're faithful to Him. He even gives us some of our wants when we've served Him. And when we've given to Him, and He blesses us, and our life is blessed. And the things that we do are blessed. Not because we're so great, but because we serve a God who is great. And that's what Israel had lost track of. And I'm afraid that's what our nation in America has lost track of. And until we come back to God and give Him the proper place, we're not going to have the blessing that God desires for us to have. As a nation, or as a church, or as a family, or as individuals. But when we're where God wants us to be, and we're doing and we're giving what God wants us to do and give, God blesses. And we see God do amazing and wonderful things. So I hope God challenges us and reminds us of this important truth that, you know what, chickens will come home sooner or later to roost. In other words, things that we do in our life is going to come back to us eventually. And so I hope God will challenge us with that. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. We've got some time between now and Sunday school. And I look forward to Neil sharing with us in our Sunday school hour.